Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Good afternoon. This is a very, very special day for us. It is the very first recording of 13 weeks of shows that are called Windows into Eternity, Understanding Concepts of Ascension. So many people have spoken about ascension, and the word is starting to be bandied about, but not many people know the steps that it takes to get there. In addition, only some really have a vague idea, and very few have a very good idea of what ascension is really about. And so this is our show that's going to explore these concepts. And we hope you'll join us. This is a show that will be featured every Sunday night at 10 p.m. So join us then every week if you can, so that we can make this show fly, and we will do our very best to give you as much information as we can on how transfiguration takes place and ascension of not only the spirit but the body can take place as well. We have on the show with us today a very dear friend of mine and a master in his own right. He happens to be our office manager in Newport, and his name is Paul St. John. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today. And
it's my pleasure.
I've asked Paul to go ahead and come up with some wonderful questions that people email to us, and also ones that he himself may want to know. And hopefully we will provide a wonderful show for you today and give some enlightenment as to some of these practices. Paul, it's all yours. Go ahead and see what you want to ask.
All right. Well, I thought since this is your first show of the Windows into Eternity series that we'd first ask you some questions about your own path. And I know that you've your own path has expanded far beyond its origins, but I thought perhaps you could first start speaking a little bit about what the path of a Toltec Nagual actually is, and perhaps
yes,
then how
I'd
has it changed.
To. So, the Toltec Nagual, first of all, a Nagual does not choose to be a Nagual. It is something that, you know, somewhere far back perhaps was chosen as a contract with the infinite. But they are born with two luminous cocoons or eggs around the body, which provides them additional energy, and I'll explain what a luminous cocoon is in just a second, but it provides them additional energy because a Nagual is dedicated to setting others free, as well as themselves, from illusion. Their life is a life of tremendous discipline and also one of impeccability. Their path is dedicated to that. So a luminous egg, every person has basically an egg-shaped, luminous cocoon around the body, and it consists of their bodies, if they are in identity consciousness, that are the following. First of all is the physical body, and then about sort of 2 inches out, you find the etheric body, which through Russian technology can now actually be photographed, and it consists of the meridians. Where the meridians cross a few times, what you end up with are the minor acupuncture points. And then where it crosses multiple times are the major acupuncture points, and so on. Well, around that, what you have is, in fact, the emotional body that you can photograph with Carillion photography as the aura. Excuse me. And so around that is the mental body about 14 inches out. And the mental body has, again, linear lines. On the other side of it is the spiritual emotional, and then it's the mental, the spiritual mental, and then the spirit body. That comprises the luminous cocoon of man. Is that clear so far, Paul?
So far, yes.
Excuse me, I drank some tea right before, and that seems to have gone the wrong way.
No problem.
So, Paul, if you would explain to people from your concept, which will give me a little moment to just get my throat clear.
Absolutely.
Everything that you know about the Toltec past, because you yourself is a Nahual at this point.
Well, I can explain then perhaps some of the practices that are part of this past. For example, a huge part of Toltec Nahual's path is a practice called combing the shadows. And this practice is very similar to scanning the landscape of our lives to find any sort of tension within any of those bodies that Almin has described. It can be our physical body or our energetic body or the emotional or mental or even the spiritual bodies, to find any tension in there or any areas of our lives that need attention or that insights still need to be gained from.
And it can also come in the form of a knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
So, you know, that would also indicate that there is tension in a specific area of your life. And what these tension areas really are, Paul, as you're explaining them, if our listeners can get a clearer understanding from this, it is, in fact, unresolved insights. Those are insights waiting to be yielded. And if there's a knee-jerk, that's an insight waiting. And so that is, you know, that's very, very well done. I put you on the spot rather rapidly, my friend.
Well, you're ahead of me as usual, because, in fact, I was going to ask you to explain some of those practices yourself.
Well,
so maybe
let's
you can
go
do
ahead.
The rest of them for us.
Thank you. No more tea right before a show. But please go ahead, and we'll explain it.
Okay. So the next one that I was wondering if you could explain is the cultivation of mindlessness.
Yes. Well, if you think of the inner map of space, at its vastest level, what we are is a consciousness superimposed over all that is, having a human experience. At the smallest level, of course, you are functioning from your body. You are perhaps in a deductive mode so that the egoic mind, the left brain, is doing its job. That would be the most contracted space you can have. But there is a vast area in between becoming all the way expanded and being all the way contracted. And when I went into God consciousness, and this was in the first weeks of 2000, it was very fearful for me. Any time one makes a major transfiguration, there is some fear involved, as you have to just find your footing again. But what was so amazing to me is that when I was out there, I would be terrified of losing self-awareness. Now, these fearful things do not have to happen anymore. I just want to stress that up front. We have mapped out the changes that happen, the challenges people face, the symptoms that go along with it very, very carefully in many of the books. There's a great synopsis on these different stages, and, you know, so you can really sort of tell where you are by looking at the symptoms. But it is in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. We've discussed it in Journey to the Heart of God. And I also give my own experiences of it in A Life of Miracles, which was our first book. So I would find myself in terror when I expanded too far, when this initially happened, not having anyone to tell me, congratulations, you've arrived at the next stage of your evolution. And then when I would contract back down, I would be in total hyperventilation and panic attacks from the claustrophobic feeling of being confined into the body. And so I learned to create a map, and it was like a golden spider web of light. So when you go into mindlessness, it is the place of going a little bit out on that web of light between total contraction and total awareness that you are all that is. And so it's a little shift in what we call the assemblage point, because those luminous cocoons that we explained earlier, there is about a tennis ball size of light. And for people in ego identification, and if you have a dialogue in your head, if there is talk going on in your head most of the time, you are in one of the three phases of man's evolution called ego identification. Most teachers are in those phases. Even though they could be in the third one, which we can call mastery, they are nevertheless within the confines of egoic mind. So it's something that if people can just study a little bit, it's a practice in which they can shift this assemblage point with slight movements. The assemblage point, when you think more fluidly, the more you think out of the box, the more you adjust your attitude and spin on a dime. You are going to town. You are going to have a wonderful day. Suddenly, daughter comes up. Mom, I have this baking project for my scouts. You know, and suddenly your whole day changes. But you embrace each moment with what it brings before you. The more you do this, the more that assemblage point can do its little movements that enables you to go into altered states. But it is a way of functioning from an altered state. How this ties in with the practice that Paul mentioned earlier is that a good way to assess your day, and the more deep, meaningful living we do, my brothers and sisters, the more that mind dialogue gets silenced, because experience yields its insights. The dialogue is there because it suppresses certain things that we didn't want to look at. So how you can use the mindlessness, as he calls it, and the combing the shadows in conjunction as a way of discerning your path is as follows. You go into a slight meditative state, and you can do this even as you're getting dressed, as you're in the shower in the morning, or you can take just a few minutes in the morning, a few minutes in the evening. You go into a meditative state slightly out, and you cultivate this so you can go in and out of it as much as you need in the day. And then, you, from that still point, note where you feel tension. You just scan the horizon of your life. You just scan all your relationships at work, at home, and you see any place where there's a tightness, a obstruction of the flow of light that you feel like a physical symptom in the body. It could feel as nausea, it could feel as stress. That's where the insights are needed. So now that combing the shadows has produced where the insights are, you stay in your expanded state and you just pay a little tiny bit of attention to that area of your life, and then you wait and see. And you get symbols that flash into the mind. And these symbols, we have very carefully created a glossary of these symbols. And, you know, the first thing you can start to ask is, what's my yes symbol and what's my no symbol? And that will be very helpful, because then you can ask questions and eventually really cultivate it so that yes symbol or no symbol will flash. But the symbols that one can interpret, not only from those that arise this way as a way of gaining clarity of your path and your next step, but also from your dreams, which points out areas that you've missed. And then also one's environment speaks to one. Everywhere around you, everything speaks. Like just a little bit before the show, I went to go and get some groceries, and I looked up way high in the sky, just tiny little black spots. And they were eagles, an eagle pair flying very, very high. And what it is saying is ego vision. It was necessary. Something was a question in my mind. It was necessary to look at it from the very big picture. So, my brothers and sisters, those symbols we give in the ring of truth and also in secrets of the hidden realms. So, Paul, next question. I hope that answered it.
It absolutely did, and in fact, it answered a few more. You talked about fluidity, which was very one of my questions about the importance of fluidity in ascension, which you've already highlighted as very important, and also the dream symbols, which you covered very in-depthly. That's another practice.
Well, let me go add just a bit on both those concepts.
Okay, great.
Let's take fluidity. I cannot stress enough, my beautiful light family that are joining us this day, the importance of fluidity. Because let's just take a look at this issue of the luminous cocoon. When we oppose life, life flows around us like a river. When we oppose it, we start to create friction between this luminous cocoon that contains our life force, incidentally, and the movement that is around us of the cosmos moving on its way. Well, when we set ourselves up in opposition to something that great, guess who is going to come out on the worst end? All it does is creates a dialogue which arises as a result of resistance to life, and it leaks energy because the poles of the root chakra and the crown chakra don't pulse properly when one lives in one's head. And so you tend to leak out energy in the root chakra, which, you know, brings gravity upon you. And so gravity in excess or in overpolarization actually causes decay of cells, aging, eventual poor health, and then, unless you know for a fact that death is obsolete in your life, it could cause you to embrace death because the body becomes uncomfortable for the spirit. So it is very important to bring full cooperation with life. The person that does that does not leak energy. And in fact, a really interesting thing. You know, Paul, how it's the Zavuya that is written off by some of the authors that have translated the Mayan work.
Yes.
That Zavuya is actually a figure eight. It's called the loop of time. A master does not have that flat figure eight run through their life force center, which until very recently was behind the belly button, but the Mother Goddess has moved it to the hearts of all beings. So it, for those who oppose life, that figure eight lies through the heart center, and you're living in linear time then. But if you don't oppose life, where is one living? In the place of power, which is right now. Then that Zavuya does in fact not exist. There is a loop that goes to the above and below, and it goes through the heart. And it simply retains memories as you need to recall them. But it's only when you oppose life that that figure eight that's vertical for the master starts to tilt and eventually goes horizontally, and then it puts one in linear time, which is a place of no power. And what was the other concept we were going to mention?
Well, you did cover it quite in-depthly. It was about developing our dream language or our symbolic language so that we can see symbols not only in dreams but also in our waking life.
That's correct. Let's look at the type of things that are being given to us in our dreams. The dreams absolutely speak to us to give us two things: answers to questions we posed before. we went to bed, and it gives us in detail what we miss or what could trip us up in the day ahead or the week ahead, for example. So it is important to set that alarm. You know, I set my alarm for 5 o'clock, and now I don't even need to set any alarm. I wake up at 5 every morning so that I can go carefully through my dream time. There's no mistaking it. That's one of the primary places of instruction for me every day. And we have those dream symbols, as I've explained.
Yeah.
And the ones that we've given you is the result of a very, very long time of oral Toltec traditions. And it's been passed down from one to the other, and it has been made a careful study of to come up with these symbols. So it's just, you know, it's not an arbitrary system. It's the accumulation of hundreds of thousands of years of oral tradition.
Well, that's really good to know. And those, again, can be found in The Ring of Truth and Secrets of the Hidden Realms.
That's right.
Right, okay. Well, I was wondering if we could talk about a fourth practice that is not only for Toltec Naguals, but really for, like all these practices are for everyone. And it's the practice of pulsing the emotions. In the Ring of Truth, you describe 12 pure frequencies of emotions. And you also discuss the pulsation between their poles. Can you explain a little bit about this to everyone?
Yes. We have mistakenly thought that at some point we could reach what's called perfection, in that everything would be stable and blissful. Our ascended masters unfortunately thought the same thing, and in 2005 they were very, very stagnant, and growth had stopped tremendously. Only 9 of them made it beyond that stage. So, only 9 actually made it into the God Kingdom.
Wow.
And so we have a situation where anything that is dynamic pulses between the proactive masculine pole or the positive pole and the receptive feminine or negative pole. And everything in life has to pulse this way. Mother herself, the Infinite Mother, gave birth to all life. Her first creation was the Father. That being of great light, that was her masculine components externalized and reflected to her. But even Mother herself pulses between her feminine aspect and the positive aspect, the more masculine aspect. If she did not, the cosmic life would wane. There is no such thing as balance that is static. Balance is dynamic. Balance that's static is but stasis. And so, in August of 2006, many tremendous changes happened in the cosmos that lightworkers really should know about, because multiple laws changed, polarities changed, the basics like how to practice compassion changed. And that is when I got the instruction from the mother that I had to write as rapidly as I could. It had to be in the printer by December, and I started it in August to write The Ring of Truth. And my books, by the way, are all written from total silence of the mind with my hand automatically writing. So what happened at that point is that Mother eliminated all portions of her being, any doubt about those portions as to whether they were what she is or whether they're not was eliminated. She knew which portions of life was what she was and which portions were not. And so, what happened is that Mother at that point had all illusion solved. Now, let's not go there right this minute, but at that time she removed discordancy from the tones of the cosmos. The cosmos is that which is enclosed in the membrane in which mother has had individuated life happen. Beyond that, all you find is more of mother, and it lies like oceans of consciousness around one another forever and ever. The cosmos currently, in all its glory, is the only place where there are individuated beings. But the cosmic tones of anger, protectiveness, pain, and fear were discordant tones. They were entirely removed, and Mother replaced them with pure frequencies. And Paul, now, those are fully published on the Belvaspata website, are they not?
Yes, they are.
Then let's tell the folks how to get there. If you look up the word Belvaspata, B-E-L-V-A-S-P-A-T-A, you will find that it is a healing modality that Mother brought into being and is given as a gift to humankind, and there is a way to do self-initiation into it, and it's given in the Ring of Truth, for example. And but the website on Belvaspata gives the 12 pairs of pure emotions that Mother replaced these discordant tones with. These pairs pulse one another. Example, joy and passion. The passion is the desire to know. Joy is the desire to be or to live. The deeper you go into the unknown, exploring that which you have never known before, the more you snap back into the deeper joy. So the one deepens the other, and in this way, they enhance one another. This is actually the dynamics of life. All life pulses between doingness, beingness, every part of life, unless it is stagnant and heading for elimination or death, it is in fact pulsing in this way.
Wow, that's, I think, really helpful for many truth seekers out there who have had the tendency to have that image in mind that a balance which is static is the ideal. So thank you very much, Almeen, for that explanation.
You're welcome.
I guess it would further another way we could take that as well is that that sexual energy, that life-giving energy, is also a significant part in ascension as well. Would you be able to comment
really
on that?
It really is. And, you know, did you have a question regarding that? Because I do want to stay with your questions. I know you've given quite a bit of thought to them.
Oh, well, that's exactly my next question, is if you would be able to talk about the role of sexual energy for those particularly who are in the midst of understanding their own ascension.
Okay, let's do that. When one goes through the stages of your evolution, it's a little bit like a pyramid. Let's think of the emotions as the side of the pyramid, the various sides, okay? So those are the emotions. The base of the pyramid is perception. As one moves between the stages, you in fact go from one extreme to the other, because again, we're making very, very sure that we're not in stasis. In other words, that perfect balance that exists in the plateau, in the Giza Plateau Pyramid, the Great Pyramid, should be just a momentary thing, and then it goes out of proportion again because it's pulsing. So the first thing that occurs is that the base will enlarge, perception enlarges. As a result, when you're in this vast perception, emotion, which is the sides, will flatten. They become less intense. unless for the next stage you can whip up a storm to get these emotions going again, and these are now the beautiful, pure emotions that we've suggested that you take a little look at on the Belvaspital website, unless those emotions go higher again, what happens is that you will get stuck, like the Ascended Masters, in expanded awareness with hardly any emotion. A seasonless place of no growth. Well, it's very difficult to whip up those emotions to get them going strongly, and in fact, to get them going so strongly that proportionately they get higher than they should, and then the base has to expand again. The way to do it is with the Kundalini. And the Kundalini pulses. Now, whether one has a sexual partner or not is really beside the point. The Kundalini awakens by having a dynamic awareness of your own potency as a man or as a woman. It's a love affair. It's a sensual, wonderful relationship with yourself and with life around you. The crunching of a wonderful, juicy apple is running down your chin, and you bite into it, and the wonderful peace of the morning when the birds first start to sing, or walking just barefoot on a little patch of grass, if that's all you have, in the dew on a summer morning. Those are the things that can create this ecstasy, this pulsing, this love affair with life. That is what is needed, and to have that, you cannot just be so expanded that you are unaware of the very thorn bush by the wayside being ablaze with the glory of the divine. You will not even see it. So awareness of the moment is key to getting the Kundalini pulsing. It's like making love with a lover. You cannot be experiencing the full sensation of it unless you are fully present, unless you can smell and taste and feel and see, and everything in front of you is fully present. That's the only time that Kundalini can help expand and deepen the emotional pairs, which are the pure emotions, and there is no way to go too deeply into them as long as you pulse both poles.
Wow, that's very helpful, Amin. Thank you very much. It really does show that that sexual energy and the Kundalini energy that can arise from it does have a very valid and important place in our ascension.
And you know, Paul, it's the only reason that 9 of our Ascended Masters made it out, and until August there were only 9. Now
wow.
There are more and more in the flesh, is that somehow they stumbled on that secret. Because, you know, it was just Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Kuan Yin, Sanat Kumara, there was Mother Mary, and then the Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist's mother, and then there was also two immortal masters that were females from the Taoist traditions. I don't know their names. And I encountered them in August. That was right before Mother gave instruction that the masters on earth had to get ready, that the physical ascended masters had to start to create a way to go bridge that chasm that lie between kingdoms to further their evolution, because the earth was going to lead an enormous ascension, which started in 2005 in February. And it was necessary that all kingdoms be represented, ascended masters and the God kingdoms, in embodied flesh on earth. In other words, in physicality.
Right, and I understand that that's a large part of what your mission is here on earth, to help usher in that time of the mother's reign on the planet, and to help prepare these masters in the flesh to become those who govern the planet and really the cosmos.
It's been, what shall we call it, Paul? Consuming? I am laughing, my brothers and sisters, because you know, all the work we do, we dedicate it to the mother and the father that is by her side, and they function as a unit. All the work we do is for that. But I, you know, I'm working in other realms at least 6 hours a day on top of having a little girl to take care of, and she's very much the love of my life, and, of course, also to run my office, write my books, teach the classes. And Paul works day and night, and, in fact, I'm considering having a little chit-chat with him about the pulsing here. Doingness and beingness has to pulse, but it's very, very consuming. Because Mother has called us both to do that.
Yes. Okay. I guess we ended up on an appropriate topic for the day. So, Almeen, can you talk a little bit about the emotions on another level? We've been talking a lot about how they apply to people's lives, and I thought listeners might be interested in just hearing a little bit about how you perceive them and how you describe in your books the emotions as a frequency and how they relate to light as well, in terms of being part of the building blocks of reality.
Very good question. Well, when August of 2006 happened, because so much happened to change the whole nature of the cosmos, we literally fulfilled the prophecy in Revelations that speaks about all things becoming new. And now what is consuming so much diligent effort on the side of the ascended masters that are both in the flesh, and I work, have the great privilege of working with the Order of the White Rose in Ireland, all of them ascended masters, the Order of the White Dove in America, all of them ascended masters, and for those of you that come to my classes, you will not be out of your mastery for more than a week, because of the fact that those masters are with us when we do the work. Our classes, for the folks out there, is simply that they share. Those that gather there share in the work that Mother gives us. The insights that we get working at that cutting edge where the known and the unknown meets are extraordinary. And after a week, we leave all of us completely altered. And people come in identity consciousness, where there's a dialogue in the mind, and they leave as masters with the option of living in silence. And it is a side effect of the great contribution they are able to make and the grace of being in the presence of these beautiful ascended masters. So to get back to this issue of the changes that happened in August of 2006. One of the things that happened is that light, up until then, for eons of times before that, Toltec Knuckles have been studying the nature of reality and found that light formed the gridwork of the cosmos and that emotions moved through that like a flow. That changed in August of 2006. In fact, speaking of fluidity, 90% of the Toltec way was geared towards utilizing the illusion before us as a power source in overcoming and rising up in as ascended masters. When illusion was solved, 90% of the Toltec way became obsolete. And that, in part, also is addressed in the Ring of Truth. But what happened then is that the gridwork of the cosmos that was stationary actually became vast rings of frequency. And, for example, there are in concentric rings these pairs of emotions. There is a total of 96 emotional frequencies, 96 physical expressions, 96 sexual expressions, 96 sensual expressions, 96 ascension expressions. And each of these, there's more, but each of these form concentric rings and vast wheels that form like the ribs that keep open the space in which the cosmos is living out its life. Now, light moves. And, beloved ones, the beauty of this is that the light that is now moving, we finally have geometry the way it should be. Geometry in the cosmos is not static. It doesn't have angles and joints. Those solids that are part of the plutonic solids that's in our mass, it's part of the illusion. No matrix in the cosmos is static or stationary, and that geometry changed in a twinkling of an eye when all illusion was solved in the beginning of August 2006. All unknown portions of the Infinite Mother's being was, in fact, solved. And so, light in geometry started to move without angles, without joints. When it changes direction, it actually makes a little loop, and it will bounce in another direction. But it doesn't move in angles and joints because that does not allow for growth. So dynamic geometry came into being as part of the cosmos. These vast wheels, every single one of these frequencies, if we take passion, that has 9 rays of light that move in a crystalline shape in constant movement. And then there are 9 for joy and so forth and so forth. And then these wheels are, in fact, keeping open the space. Frequency now vibrates right in place. And that's the little bit of how light and frequency now relates as part of the structure of the cosmos.
Wow, that's a very in-depth picture that you're drawing for
us. You know,
us
Paul,
there.
I wonder if we are overdue for our break.
I think that we might be.
I think we should take a short break because we have not done any commercials. We got so carried away with our wonderful topics here. Let's take a short commercial break.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Well, welcome back to everybody. It is such a delight to have you with us. Today we are doing Windows into Eternity. Understanding concepts of ascension. And my brothers and sisters of light, this is our very first show, and we are delighted that you've joined us. We will be airing every Sunday night at 10 p.m. And Paul, what is 10 p.m.? Is that Pacific time?
In fact, I mean, it's 9 p.m. Pacific time, and it will be right on Station 2 at BBS.
Okay, 9 p.m. Pacific time.
Yes.
Okay, that's good to know. Well,
right after the Dr. Rain Morgan show.
Right after the Rain Morgan show, all right.
Which you were often on.
Yes. Okay, well, now we know. And we're very, very happy that you've joined us. So, Paul, we will try and be a little more diligent about keeping our commercial breaks, but could you please go ahead? You've come up with some wonderful questions.
Well, you know, before the break, you were discussing on a deeper level what emotional frequencies and light rays were. And in terms of ascension, I think an important concept for everyone to understand is awareness. And I was wondering if you could talk about awareness and how it relates to those, to that light and frequency that underlies all of the cosmos.
Yes. Awareness has something in common with what we call the attitudes of love, praise, and gratitude. Love, praise, and gratitude are the ascension attitudes. If you have enough of that, it will pull in awareness, and you will get enough awareness that the body must transfigure into an ascended master. So there's a connection between the ascension attitudes and what an attitude is, and awareness. And what the connection is that both have components of both love and light, of frequency and light. So if you were to take a little ray of awareness and you dissect it, you cut it down, you know, clear across, it would look like a wobbly cross. And the horizontal little wave form is in fact the frequency, and the vertical one is the light. Now again, very, very large change, possibly the most profound change in the cosmos, is that prior to August of 2006, when all illusion was solved within the cosmos, up until that time, awareness moved. And in an instant, the trillions and trillions of long spirals of awareness that moved from the center source of the cosmos all the way to the outer edge and back again. Suddenly, overnight, you know, just in a heartbeat, they actually shattered. They broke into trillions and trillions and trillions of little bits and spread across the cosmos a bit like you would spread, you know, peanut butter across a sandwich. Now, how then does one become more aware? Because before, that becoming more aware had a very definable pattern that I describe in Journey to the Heart of God under the anatomy of change. It went from transformation, in which you shed, you were in a time of shedding anything that no longer served. Then you went to transmutation, where you took what you had and turned it into something higher. Pain was turned into insight, that sort of thing. Then, as you gained enough light, anybody can only hold so much light. And then it must transfigure to the next stage of its evolution. The third phase of change in this linear becoming more aware procession that we were engaged in up until August was in fact that you went into transfiguration. Now, when everything spread, awareness stopped moving, all of a sudden, what you can do now is to have love, praise, and gratitude. It is the positive pole that is similar to awareness. Awareness itself is negative and feminine in that it is non-active, it is inert, and it gets pulled by the active sending out of love, praise, and gratitude. So in other words, you can take the peanut butter and take a knife of love, praise, and gratitude and pull it towards you on the sandwich and pull a whole glob of peanut butter around you, which is awareness, and with enough awareness, you have to transfigure, and that will create the ascended mastery that the light workers seek. Now, my brothers and sisters, we have to make up for a lost commercial, so we are going into our next one. Please rejoin us right after. We are delighted that you're with us today.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us again. And now, Paul, we are onto some very interesting concepts here about ascension, and please continue. You've got some really good questions for us.
Well, you were just discussing love, praise, and gratitude as the ascension attitudes that can help all truth seekers to embrace more awareness, that actually draw awareness to us now. And I'm just wondering if you can talk either a little bit more about these attitudes. Or if you'd like, I'd also like to hear about the seven supporting attitudes. I don't know if we'll have time to tackle them all today, but I know that those are also really wonderful attitudes to learn a little bit about and to institute more in our lives.
Well, if I may go back just for a second here on
Absolutely.
How we can gather the awareness now through love, praise, and gratitude, raking it towards us, there is a very important concept here that we might want to just bring to light.
Sure.
And it goes like this. What was so discouraging to lightworkers prior to August of 2006, when things changed as dramatically as we've been discussing earlier in the show, is that there was a principle called inertia. It was the result of linear time. And what inertia did is it said that whatever gains you make, if you rest for a while and you don't grow for a week, it will slide backwards. I used to say, actually, to the beautiful masters that come to my classes and certainly, and I leave the classes as masters, but I used to tell them, life is a journey, it's not a camp. You are either moving backwards or forwards. Well, that is no longer the case. And the wonder of it is, it has set us free to live these incredible, beautiful frequencies that are now part of the gridwork of the cosmos, as we explained, of fun and joy and laughter and beauty, and just the most glorious, light-hearted frequencies. We can do that now because this serious business of becoming enlightened can be best served by living our highest truth in the moment through love and praise and gratitude. We were a little bit like a truck trying to get up a hill, and every time we try to get up the hill, there was a couple more stones along the way that we put in the back. So, because we were in ascension and descension cycles for eons, and unresolved stuff waited along the way that we didn't solve the last time around. So they're like the stones. Where we have ascended to as a cosmos, and the Earth has been a major player in this, is where we've never been before. That means we are not picking up any debris of unresolved issues from the past. And we are now in a place of innocence where we can live in the moment. Mother has done away with any and all beings that represent illusion, since illusion has been done away with. It is time for a healing of the heart. The very purpose of life has changed. And the purpose used to be that we solve the illusion by turning the unknown into the known through experience. Now it is to live this joyous path and create whatever we will through our hearts. It is to embody that which the mother is, which is total purity and love and light, and to create through the heart. Now, we can become an ascended master in an instant with enough love, praise, and gratitude. We no longer have to do the linear hard work of overcoming. And so that has made becoming enlightened a great deal easier.
Okay.
So did you want to go to the supporting attitudes, or would you like to tackle something shorter?
Well, I'll just say that that sounds a lot to me like one of the supporting attitudes, which we may have time to just talk about one, which is grace. And
yes.
That sounds a lot like Mother's grace, to elevate the cosmos to the extent that we can grow without feeling like that truck constantly burdened with old memories.
And you're right, because grace, I'm so glad you brought this up. There used to be a method of growing, which is what the Toltec way was geared for. It was to take illusion as a stumbling block and turn it into a stepping stone. But the Toltecs were very clear on this in their journey of being set free from illusion. They said very clearly that it is that our power source is the illusion before us. Because every time we can wrestle with it and gain its insights, we gain more luminosity, we gain more power, we gain more energy, and we can move up one notch on that ever, you know, that spiral that we had of becoming more enlightened. Now, growth actually doesn't come through opposition. It comes through support. And my brothers and sisters, we have another show that you might want to listen to if you can. And it is called The Mystical World We Live In, Discovering the Secrets of the Hidden Realms. In that, we have discussed on the first couple of shows, which is just beginning, we have discussed the incredible gifts that Mother has given to metamorphose the species of humanity into a higher evolved being, to lift us up through these gifts of grace. Now, Paul, unfortunately, it's been a delightful hour, and I'm so thank you, very, very thankful. Thank you so much.
You have taken
so much trouble to prepare these questions.
So,
my brothers and sisters, it is time for us to take our leave. Thank you for joining us. It is you that makes this show possible, and it is you that will keep it going. My love to you all, and Paul to you as well. Thank you, my brother.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity, with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.